On FM, online and DAB digital radio.
This is Summer Saturday.
Cambridge 105.
For the past few years, Cambridge Open Studios has been far more widespread than just the city itself. And over the past few years, quite a few times now, I've come down towards the Saffron Walden area to visit artists. And today I'm visiting the home of Mark and Miranda Pender. I'm with Miranda. Mark's still working, Miranda.
Yes, he should be home any time now, but if not, I'll do the talking for both of us.
Okay, that sounds perfect. You both do acrylic and oil painting. I think it's fair to say there's a difference in your styles.
Yes, Mark does the weird stuff, and mine's a little bit gentler and prettier, shall we say.
I came here with a preconceived idea that the two of you would be like some sort of Damien Hirst factory. You'd decide on a style and you'd be pushing out pictures. But were you both artists before you met? How does your art background come together, the two of you?
No, we're both relatively recent converts to the artistic world. When I say relatively recent, Mark probably started about 20 years ago, which is certainly not all his life. Me, probably more like 10, 15 years ago, which is certainly not like half of my life.
Had you been an artist before, say at school?
Not really. I was never considered at all good at art at school. When I was at grammar school, my grades were always C, C minus. And I never really thought I could draw or paint or anything. There was one terrible time when we were set homework to do a portrait of a member of our family, and I drew my sister, and it came back with something like C minus and grotesque and out of proportion, which did rather put me off for years.
I can imagine. So at what point did you have the courage then to think, well, I'll give that a go?
Well, I took the opportunity when we lived in Bali near Royston to go on an evening course at Bassingbourne Village College, and it was called A Taste of Art. And the tutor there was absolutely inspirational, and although I had no idea really what I was doing, I was introduced to a complete range of different media, different styles, and encouraged to experiment, and given a lot of very helpful and constructive criticism about how to improve my technique. And from that, I learned such a lot, drawing, painting, just manipulating colours. And from there, I've been on a lot more different workshops, courses, to keep expanding and improving my style and way of painting.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because you think when you're at school, you're being taught in a way that's going to further you and give you a career. But actually, where you struggled was following a set path. And to be able to choose your own path, these are beautiful pictures. Tell me about them.
Thank you. My pictures are, as I said, are quite pretty and colourful. The way I describe them is beautiful, colourful and affordable. The small ones, the 20 by 20 centimetres, are they're sort of semi-abstract, but they're very obviously floral paintings. Mm. We've got spring flowers, we've got crazy daisies, hot flowers. I like to think that I'm painting something that's fun to look at, that will put a smile on people's faces. They're cheerful on the whole and colourful.
But it's not exclusively that, is it? You've got some other stuff around us in the room here, and in particular one at the back of the room here, which had me surprised when you told me what the subject was.
Yes, that's cake.
Okay.
And as you said, it could have been a clifftop, it could be a five-barred gate, but in fact it's a delicious piece of heavily iced chocolate and cherry cake. And I can understand where you thought it could be a clifftop because of the kind of geographical strata that's included in the design.
Mm. And it's to me, though, when people say, oh, I do abstract, you often think that's a bit of a cop-out, isn't it? But to be honest, you know, your pictures, yes, they're abstract, but they are quite, as you say, these are quite clearly daisies. So it's not an excuse for poor structure and poor content, is it? It's just as difficult to do abstract as it is to do finite, I guess.
For me, I couldn't do fine art because my drawing skills aren't really up to it. And so I concentrate on what I am good at, which is structure and colour. As you say, my paintings do have a lot of structure and rhythm. Mm. I do work very hard on getting them looking right. And the beauty of acrylics is that you can rework them. So if you put something down and you're not happy with it, you can just scrape it off, scrape it back and do it again.
Oh, watercolourists will hate you for that.
Exactly. That's why I tend not to use watercolour. As you can see, mine do have quite a lot of impasto. That's where you're just layering the paint on, not with a brush so much as any kind of implement. I use a palette knife a lot.
Right.
Because I do like this almost 3D effect where the paint's layered on very thickly and you get the depth purely from the way the paint has been layered on.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, these pictures, as you were saying, 20 by 20 centimetres,
it doesn't
just make them affordable, does it? It's the sort of thing that you would buy on impulse, because you can always find room for a picture this sort of size, can't you?
Exactly. I do have some larger ones, but the reason I do a lot of these small ones is that if somebody likes the image, they are affordable at £50 each, and because they're small, they can almost always find a little space, a corner in the house for them. Whereas the larger paintings can be a little bit more challenging to find space for.
And talking of larger paintings, let's turn to the work of your husband. He's not here, so you'll have to speak on his behalf. Describe his style to me. I think it is fair to say it's very different.
Yes, it's dark, it's gothic. A lot of his work is inspired by myth and fairy tale. They often feature rather gruesome images. But they're not horrible. There's a kind of tongue-in-cheek attitude to them.
Quite a hobbit sort of way, in some cases a hobbit. Although you were telling me about this particular one here, which it looks like an ageing rock star, but is...
No, that in fact is called The Puppet Witch, and it was taken from a photograph that he took when we were in Prague a few years ago of a shop that sold nothing but rather gruesome puppets. And yes, I suppose that could be an ageing rock star, but I don't know what's happened to his teeth and his eyes. He's obviously had a very hard life.
And this, another one you've just shown me, a much, much bigger piece, inspired by graffiti.
Yes, that one's called City of Paranoia, and it's a little bit sort of Munch-like, with some slightly screaming and shocked faces, with a lot of skyscraperish buildings leaning into each other. And that was inspired by graffiti that said City of Paranoia, that he spotted from the train as it was going into Liverpool Street Station.
Oh, whoever the artist of that was will be very pleased to see that it got treated in this way. Tell me a little about how he got into art then. And with art like this, I guess there is a danger that it's less commercial in a lot of ways. Is he happy about that?
I have to say that Mark doesn't often sell any of his pieces. He does tend to paint what he likes rather than what other people like. I think my attitude is more commercial, but Mark is possibly more true to himself because he has an idea. And even though it's extremely unlikely that anybody will ever buy a lot of his paintings, they're fun to look at and people say they enjoy them. They're images that people find enthralling, but it's not necessarily something you would want on the wall at home.
No, but you could see it in a boardroom. Does he your art? You could easily have a series, couldn't you? So you could easily do a boardroom and say, right, we're going to have pictures. Would he do the same?
Yes, he would. In fact, you said that, and he did do a series fairly recently of Little Red Riding Hood. It was a sort of gothic version of Little Red Riding Hood, four pictures of the different stages in the story, and he did sell that. But I don't think it went in a child's bedroom.
No, and I was going to say, the one of the puppet master, I mean, you'd threaten the child with that, wouldn't you? If you don't go to bed and go to sleep now, we'll get the picture out.
I think that would be quite an effective way of threatening a recalcitrant child.
So let's turn our attention to Cambridge Open Studios. Is this the first time you've actually done Cambridge Open Studios?
Yes, it is. It was quite a big step for us. In the past, we've done Saffron Walden Open Studios, a local event, but Cambridge Open Studios is expanding every year and covering a bigger and bigger area. And because they have it's such a well-established event over four weekends in July, although we're just doing 1, 3 and 4, they've got a big promotional budget behind it. And as we're in the CB postcode, we thought it was worth a go because there are several studios, I think it's 7 altogether, opening in Uttlesford. And obviously, the more there are in an area, the more
easy to come down, spend the afternoon or so, or the day wandering around, stop, get a bit of lunch, see some more.
Absolutely, because Saffron Walden's a lovely place to visit. There's plenty of pubs and places to have lunch. And then just across the road from us, there's Just Like Wendy's, a fascinating little vintage shop with lots of interesting things to buy, and a soup. They've got a super cake shop there as well. So
wonderful! So you're going to be a working studio as well for Open Studios. What does that involve? What will people see when they come here?
Well, we've got a summer house in the garden. The gallery is actually going to be in half of our garage, which we've just set up. We've got all the infrastructure in place. We're going to hang on the Friday evening. And we'll have the paintings in there. And then one or both of us will be working in our summer house, where we will be protected from the elements, but have plenty of natural light. And so people will be able to come along and see us, possibly both, Mark producing one of his weird and wonderful paintings and me doing something a little more relaxing.
Has it taken you a lot to prepare for this? Because as you were saying earlier, the vast majority of your pictures are not small, but they're not huge. So do you have to build a big stock up for an event like this?
Yes, you do. In a way, the difficult thing is curating it, because you want to select the paintings from your portfolio that are going to be cohesive. When people come along, you want them to understand what it is they're looking at. If you have too many paintings of too many different subject matters and different styles, I think it becomes confusing. Mark, because he's been painting for many more years, has been through a huge array of different styles, subject matters, media. And if you look at some of his paintings from years ago, they're very, very different from what he's got now. Uh-huh. And although it might be interesting to put some of them up, I actually think it would confuse people, because they wouldn't quite understand who the artist is.
Well, I did think when I was going to come here, I was going to meet a husband and wife team who they both work in the same media, and they obviously bounce off each other and both look at the same scene and paint the same thing. And it's just not the case. It's very, very different.
Not at all. Mark and I could easily paint the same scene, but they would come out looking very different.
Have you ever tried that?
We haven't, but I think that would be a good idea for one of the weekends we're working.
I do think it would, yes.
Then people could come along and see us both painting a garden scene and seeing how we're treating it. That would be fascinating, yes.
All right, if people want to find out a little bit more, and maybe people are intrigued not only by your work, which I say absolutely beautiful, love the daisies in particular, and quite a Monet feel to some of your work, the colours and the mauves, the blues, very Monet-like, and then contrast that with Mark's work. Is there a website they can look at first?
Yes, my website has got a link to Mark's. It's www.mirandapender.com, and it's got a lot of my work on there and a link to Mark's, which will take you through there.
Okay, with an appropriate warning before you click the link.
Yes.
Miranda, it's been lovely to meet you. This is a wonderful house. I didn't really get a chance to say about the house, but the house, as you come here, a range of ages and styles is the
Yes, it used to be a pub in the olden days. It used to be called the Black Swan, because this is on the old A11, mm-hmm. which was the main road from London to Newmarket. And if you look on the front of the house, you'll see we've got a house sign that says One Sparrow's End. And there's a picture, not of a sparrow, but of a black swan.
And that'll be why. Excellent. Miranda, it's been lovely to meet you. Good luck with Open Studios, and I hope it all goes well for you and for Mark.
Thank you, Neil.